Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hey, guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Hootie ho, hootie hoo. What do you normally say? Hootie hoo?
Hootie hoo.
Yeah.
Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo. Yes. Hello, guys. Hi.
What are you up to?
To
no good.
Up to no good. Can the show get on the road? Yeah. What are you doing today?
What is your day like? How boring are we?
I know, we're so stupid. Like, I shouldn't say we're stupid.
Well, speak for yourself.
Yes, I will speak for myself.
Okay, but you have to mention Hank. You've been here for...
Okay, so Hank, let me describe. He's wearing a long sleeve shirt, sunglasses, and a hat. He looks like he's ready to go hunting.
Oh, kind of.
Oh, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Hank is the head, the
deer head.
The deer head.
Yeah.
Ooh,
poor guy.
Poor guy. I just can't believe Chris let him put a shirt on.
Yeah. Chase was very...
gentle?
He was gentle, but he was proud of his...
Oh. It does look like he has arms.
Yeah.
Which is a little disturbing, but...
Maybe,
I like it.
Okay, maybe we'll post it to our story just so you could see.
We'll post it to our story.
Because this is probably the best one yet.
Yeah.
But Chase is planning his next...
His next one? Okay. Yeah. So go on our Instagram and look at our story and you'll see Hank.
Yeah.
In all his glory.
Yeah.
Well, I think people are bored of... us.
Probably, I'm sure. They're like, did I come here just to listen to this rambling?
Did I shave my legs for
right.
this? I have a two-parter, which you probably gleaned by the title of this episode, and you were like, oh god. But listen, I'm gonna give you part two on Friday.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
Because
that's exciting.
And if you're a patrons, you get it right now.
Oh.
Right after this. If you're part of the fam, you can listen to part two right after this.
Don't you wish
and you're gonna
you were
want
part
to.
Of our fam?
Right. Yeah. You're going to want to because this one is a wild one.
All right, let's go. I'm strapped in.
So this story is something right out of a Stephen King novel or Lifetime movie. Which, like, Stephen King meets Lifetime.
Oh, okay.
But in this case, someone actually gets to walk away.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There is a survivor in today's story. I met Summer Hathaway through an online sewing community, which makes me sound like an old lady, and it makes her sound like an old lady.
Like, how old are you now?
I know. But we got to know each other through sewing, and, like, she's really great. She was really helpful with a lot of, like, business stuff that I had questions on. We were talking one time, and she was like, oh, I love true crime. I actually saved my mom from getting murdered. And I was like, come again?
Yeah, do tell.
Elaborate, please. So she directed me to a Dateline episode that she was interviewed for, but I was disappointed because I didn't really come away with knowing much about her mom's part of the story.
Oh.
We never get to hear really from survivors. So I wanted to get the story from her and her mom's perspective. So I'm going to tell the story in a different way. We've got like two timelines that are going to kind of intersect at some point, and you'll see what I mean. So here's Summer.
My name is Summer Hathaway. My mom's name is currently Diane Beasley. Well, she was Diane Smith. My mom and I have been pretty close, more closer since, you know, the events.
The events she's referring to are that her mom married an actual psychopath and nearly became his third victim that we know of. But let's back up. Her life wasn't always a made-for-TV drama.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in San Diego, California. So, like, where, you know, there's no palm trees there. There's oak trees and mountains and hills. And, yeah, that's where I grew up. My mom was married to my dad for about 16 years. And I have a full sister and then a half-brother.
Like most young adults, Summer was in a hurry to grow up. And like most young adults, soon found out it wasn't as easy as getting married and starting a family.
Oh, right.
I got married really young and I got pregnant young. My husband at the time and I, we didn't really have a place. So we kind of bounced back and forth between his parents' house and my mom's house because our son had a lot of medical issues. So we're still kind of, you know, figuring out life and stuff.
Isn't it nice to have parents you can fall back on?
It takes a village.
I mean, it takes a village. Well, Summer didn't know it yet, but things were about to take a turn in her life. Even in her wildest imagination, she couldn't have thought something like this up. Her mom, Diane, met a guy named John Smith.
She met John through work. She was with the company like since I was a baby, but kind of quit and then went back to them. He worked like right down the street from where she worked, and it was industrial fabrication. And for some reason, he was involved in cars and stuff. And since my mom worked with industrial fabrication, I think that's how they met. I never really asked because I was like, my son was having surgeries. He was born with Down syndrome. Like, it was a crazy time. When my mom met John, I was not living with her at the time. My sister was. And I was living with my husband at the time, his parents' house.
It wasn't out of the norm for her mom to have a male companion. But this time, things were a little bit different. The way Summer learned about her mom dating John was memorable. Let's say.
My mom was like, she was pretty. She was outgoing and she was always going on dates with people. And my sister never called me about that kind of stuff. One day I get this message from my sister and she said, "Hey, mommy didn't come home last night. I think he killed her." And I said, "What are you talking about? You know, she's an adult. You know, we know what they do." You know, so maybe she just spent the night at his house. Like, I had no idea who this guy was. Didn't know his name or anything. I just know from my sister that she went on some date and my sister thinks that he killed her because she had a dream that he turned into like a devil face and killed her. And then so she woke up and she wasn't home. And I said, "Well, that's just crazy. You know, just give it some time." And eventually my mom came home.
Yeah.
That gives me chills. Chills.
Yeah. After learning that her mom had a new boyfriend in such a strange way, like this whole dream thing and the phone call, she needed to meet this guy. She's like,
"Let's know who our mom is talking to."
This person that had made her sister feel really weird, and he offered to buy her earrings at one point. After dating their mom for such a short time.
Okay.
And it wasn't too long before she would get the chance to meet John Smith.
When I did meet him, it was like at a 4th of July or Memorial Day barbecue thing in the backyard of where John was staying in a granny flat kind of area. He was super nice and like he's all, "Hey Diane, may I get you any, can I get you anything? Are you all set? Do you need anything else?" I'm all, "Oh, this guy's like really, love and honor and everything." And I thought he was really weird looking. And he's just, I wouldn't even say nerdy. He was not her type, let's just say. And the people that he stayed with were super nice. They liked to have company over and entertain. And my mom was the same way. I'm all, "Okay, I could see why she feels comfortable in this situation." He liked cars. My mom loved cars. Like, my mom has been into cars my whole life. So he was into cars. He had friends that entertained. Like, he was right up her alley.
And Diane did feel very comfortable with him. She had a lot of things in common with him, and they had fun together. But even still, the relationship was moving uncharacteristically fast. You know what I mean? Like, you would be like, "Oh, well, they're." It's like when you met Chris and you're like, "I'm getting married." And I was like,
Hold on.
"Sorry.
Yeah.
No, you're not."
I tell people all the time, I did not give my family time to
I know.
process.
And then I turned around and pretty much did the same thing, kind of. But she'd been divorced for about 3 years, Diane had, and she really wasn't looking for another husband. But, this just kind of fell into place. And why can't she have a companion, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Next thing I knew, my mom was moving into the granny flat with him. To me, my memory, it was within weeks. I was pregnant at the time. So that was 1998. So they dated very briefly. By the time my son was born, my mom had married him. So I would say like maybe 6 weeks.
Looks like you and I are not the only ones who get hitched fast.
I mean, I wasn't that fast,
I
but
know. But
wow.
you know what I'm thinking of? Like, she's divorced, she's got adult children. What do you have to lose at this point in life?
I
You know
mean,
what I
she knows what
mean?
it is to be married.
Right.
She
This
knows,
is.
you would think she would know what she's looking for.
Yeah. And she did. I
Yeah.
mean, there's no fault on her
No.
because everything was right. Everything seemed right and wonderful and great.
When you walked into the granny flat, there was a picture of a woman. It was one of those glamour shots. I think it was a glamour shot, or it was very over the top picture. He saw, "That's Fran," and that was his wife that died of cancer.
Diane was okay with having a picture of John's late wife on the wall. I mean, it seemed to comfort him,
Sure.
and it didn't make her feel uncomfortable at all. Just like
I feel like
Diane.
I would be the
Yeah,
same.
I mean, just like Diane, John was getting another shot at love and happiness, and the past was the past. And despite the strange beginning, Summer was very pleased for her mom, and she herself made an effort to spend time with John and get to know him a little bit. Because she didn't really know him, and all the judgments thus far were just that, judgments. But
Right.
were they? Because the more time she spent with him, the more she got to know exactly who he was.
When John was around me, he was really rude. He did not dote on me like he did my mom. He wasn't super nice like he was everybody else. There were times where, when I lived with my mom at the time, and I had my son was already born, he would literally, I mean, it was like a townhouse. So when you would walk, you could hear the floor made sounds. So he would stomp near my son's room, and he was a baby, mind you, and wake him up. It was just like he treated me differently than he treated her. And it was behind her back. So when I would tell her, I said, "Hey, he's been a jerk." She'll, "Oh, no, he's not." And I'd be the one, that was being the, like kind of like, that kid doesn't want her mom to marry anybody kind of person. I'm like, "No, he's like, I don't care who you date. You've been dating a while, But he was really rude to me, really rude. Like my son was learning how to walk across around the coffee table, and my mom was doing something in the kitchen, and he literally kicked my son off the coffee table with his foot. And I told her, and she thought, oh no. Like there was a time where I just, it was like I was on the outs, and I'm like, no, you're not believing me. He is treats me totally different.
Yeah.
Oh, well, how do you get someone to see?
I know. That's the thing. And the way she's describing it is like, it does kind of sound like you're a teenager and you're like, no one's gonna ever replace my dad, you know,
Yeah,
type of thing.
sure.
And she probably started to feel like, am I being over the top? Like, am
Right.
I seeing these things, or, you know, is he being rude, or am I just taking it as rude?
Because why?
Because
Why would you kick my son off
when
the
your mom doesn't believe you,
right?
then you do start to question, like,
Right.
am I making a big deal? But he wasn't just rude to her. He did strange things, things that us normal people would no take notice of and dismiss as like a quirk or a harmless oddity, if you will.
There was a time where I took John to his dentist and he had a plastic bag full of papers. And I'm all, why does he have a bag full of papers? Okay, I'm going to take him to the dentist, you know? And then we went and saw a movie. We saw Lake Placid, a very gory movie. And I remember him not wanting to look at the screen. Now, this guy knew. We all know what Lake Placid was. It was about a killer alligator or a crocodile. And he wanted to go, but he didn't want to watch the gory parts. He would turn away. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Because I could see him out of the side of my eye.
I mean, in hindsight, you can see her seeing the red flags.
I know. I know. And it was hard for her to think of it. Like I point blank asked her, is there anything now that you looking back can point to and say, that should have been a red flag. That should have been a red flag. And she was like, not really. I mean, there were strange things, but he was a chameleon,
Wow.
essentially, which is funnily enough, the title of the Dateline episode. He really was. He blended in very well
Wow.
with each person he was with. But because Summer is a normal human being, she would justify all these things about John, even his being rude. And, you know,
Maybe he's just having a bad day
she would
or
just be like, maybe he's just peculiar or like socially awkward. After all, he was harmless. You know, Daniel says this to me all the time. They're harmless, you know, like whatever.
Till they're not.
Until they're not. She could have never expected that she'd be trying to eventually rationalize what came next.
When my mom got the call that he was being investigated by the FBI, or actually, she got an interview at her workplace. She called me afterwards, and I believe I was working somewhere and I was still, you know, happily married at the time. And she calls me up and she says, there's something I need to tell you about John. And it's something like something from the National Enquirer. And instantly, like when people talk to me, I create things in my head to see it, to remember it. And I just said, National Enquirer, bat head on, you know, a human on a bat head or a bat body. You know, I just pictured his head on a bat. And I'm all, what? The National Enquirer, like they just have come up with strange stories. Okay. So then she told me, and I'm okay, that's not National Enquirer. That's more like People Magazine, you know, because this was back in the 1998, 1999. Could have been 98, 99, one of those times. And they said, we're investigating him. He's under investigation. I guess what happened was they didn't know where he was. They were going to go to Italy and they had to get passports. And that's how they found him.
So John and Diane were going to go to Italy on a trip. And John went to get a passport. And this is how they finally tracked him down because he had been bouncing around all over the place. Diane was told that John was wanted by the FBI for not one, but two very serious crimes.
Oh.
But after telling Summer, Diane couldn't really wrap her head around it. They, like, she almost didn't believe it, you know?
But, okay, he went to get a passport. Like, he, like, did he not think that his past would, I mean, I guess that's just
a
question for him that we can't answer.
It's a question for him, yeah.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is too strange, you know, because when you talk to somebody that, you know, is guilty, they want to protect themselves. And they're going to spin this nice story, and that's the person you know. That's the person you've known. You don't know the FBI. You just know what they're going to tell you, and you're looking at him like he's never harmed even a fly, you know? So you're going to believe his story over theirs because they haven't caught you in all these years. But we only knew that it was Fran that was missing. I don't think we knew about Jan, and my mom didn't tell me anytime she got phone calls from the FBI, from Fran's family, who said when or what. I was being told everything like after the fact.
You know, Summer has a point about we rationalize because we as humans try to make sense mm-hmm. of everything. If you are operating on a normal level,
right,
we try to make sense of things. And the fact of the matter is some things you cannot make sense of. And so there's like this protective factor that comes into play and you're just like, you know what? No, I know him.
Right.
Like the person I know would never, they've got the wrong John Smith. John Smith John is his Smith. Name. Okay.
Right.
That's probably why they couldn't locate him every time they looked for him because his name was John freaking Smith. Okay.
Yeah.
Same as
not just to normalize him as a human, but to think this can't happen to me. Like I didn't choose that kind of person.
Well, yeah, you never think, no,
right?
I didn't come across this guy.
Yeah,
if someone came to me and told me something outlandish about someone I had, I mean, and she hadn't known him for that long,
right?
But she'd known him long enough to date him, marry him, move in with him. Start this life with him, plan a trip to Italy with him.
Yeah.
So someone comes from the FBI and you're like, you've got it all wrong. When the detective finally located John, one of the investigators talked about how they didn't arrest him right away. They watched him for a little while.
Oh, they do like to watch.
Yeah. And they saw this blonde woman coming and going from where John was living.
Mm-hmm.
But Diane, who was the blonde woman, she was completely oblivious to the surveillance.
She doesn't pay attention like that, where I did see weird things right before he was arrested. She doesn't pay attention to details like that. No. Because of where she lived and where she worked, there is hustle and bustle everywhere. Just, it is very busy, very congested. I mean, it's San Diego.
And I think most of us going about our lives would mm-hmm. not, I mean, unless you're me and you like walk out and you're looking at the street, like which car looks different, uh-huh. like what doesn't go here.
Well, yeah.
We all just get on with things, you know?
I mean, I'm not observant. I'll, you know, I feel like I'm more aware mm-hmm. of what could happen. I'm not very observant, I have to admit.
Yeah, I mean, most people wouldn't notice. Even when the FBI made contact with Diane, though, she was only informed of one piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Fran.
They told her that Fran, she was missing and they have not found her, and he was being investigated for her disappearance.
Fran, the woman featured in the portrait hung up in Diane and John's home, that wife died of cancer, right? Well, she didn't die of cancer.
Okay.
As far as everyone knew, she disappeared.
Oh.
Off the face of the earth. So let's take it back to September of 1991. Fran's daughter, Dee Dee, called to check in on her mom in New Jersey to see how she was holding up. You see, Fran had just had hip surgery after falling in the bathroom while on her belated honeymoon to the Poconos with her new husband, John Smith.
Okay.
She had been holed up in her condo, recovering, you know, but being in constant communication with her family that lived states away was really like helping her spirits a little bit. She was a lady on the go, so I can't imagine how stir crazy she was going in that apartment. Fran's sister Sherry was checking in on her nearly every day, too. She was doing physical therapy, and she was looking forward to getting stronger and getting out of the house with every day that went by. And Dee Dee knew she had a doctor's appointment, so she tried to call her to get the scoop. Like, did you enjoy your outing? You know, did you get some fresh air? How did it go? But Fran didn't answer when Dee Dee called. Dee Dee thought, oh, well, maybe I misunderstood the appointment date. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe she was telling me, you know, maybe I misunderstood. So the next day she tried calling her again to be like, how'd it go?
Right.
No answer. This was before cell phones. So generally when you're trying to track someone down, you call your mom's work or you call wherever she's been, you know. Right. And so Dee Dee called her mom's doctor's office to see if she was still there because she knew the time of the appointment. And so she's like, maybe I can catch her before she leaves. Mm. They were like, well, she never made it to the appointment.
Oh.
Yeah. Now that's weird, Dee Dee thinks, because Fran wouldn't have missed a doctor's appointment. I mean, when she was working so hard to get stronger and be able to leave the house, right. And, you know, she was pretty much apartment ridden. And so that would have been important to her, yeah, is making it to that doctor's appointment. Now, after calling John at work to see where her mom was, John told Dee Dee that Fran told him she was going to visit family.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I thought that meant she was going to see you in Texas. Dee Dee was like, what? She had a doctor's appointment. What do you mean she's gone to visit family? Like, he's like, oh, well, maybe she's in Florida with her sister. Again, Dee Dee's like,
no, you don't know where your wife is?
She had a doctor's appointment. She wouldn't have scheduled a trip out of town.
No.
You know, and her mom didn't mention to her anything about going on a trip to see her or her aunt. But John insisted. No, Fran left a note that she was going out of town, and he even noticed that her yellow suitcase was gone.
Sure.
Okay. None of this was sitting right with Dee Dee.
No.
None of it. While her mom was getting antsy, for sure, Fran was still very much, like I said, house-ridden. And not in any condition to just up and leave. Also, Fran and John lived on a third floor condo.
Oh.
Yeah, with no elevator.
Oh, no.
So this story about her leaving a note suggests that she left without John's assistance, right?
Right.
There's no way she could have gotten down those stairs with a suitcase by herself.
No.
Fran's good friend that lived locally hadn't seen her either, or even talked to her in about a week. So it's not like she came to help Fran down those stairs and take her to the airport, foregoing her doctor's appointment. She just poof, vanished. Mm. With every phone call was a dead end, and Dee Dee was growing more concerned about her mom. And she encouraged John to file a missing persons report. He didn't want to, though, at first, because he said, you know, when your mom gets back from her trip, she's going to be annoyed about all this fuss.
Better safe than sorry.
I wouldn't. If I went somewhere and y'all didn't know where I was and you called the police, I would be like, oh, thank you.
You care that much. Yeah.
So he was reluctant, but he agreed and he spoke with the police, but police weren't exactly eager to take immediate action. I mean, she was an adult after all.
One of those.
Yeah. She can come and go as she pleases. Well, police must have not realized she couldn't come and go as she pleased. Mm-hmm. You know, no. Due to her surgery.
Yeah.
Now, in the days after the missing persons report was filed, Fran's family pressed John for answers. Surely he knew more. But the more they pressed, the more John backed off, backed away, shut down. He started to imply that maybe Fran took her own life. Maybe she just left and killed herself.
And you're just so nonchalant about
it. They were like, that makes even less sense, John. Like,
yeah.
What? I mean, she was a very religious woman and she didn't believe in suicide.
Right.
Now, after 2 weeks with no word from her mom, Dee Dee just knew something bad happened to her. She's like, my mom just wouldn't be out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about this time, police were finally starting to side-eye the situation. Ugh. The calls coming in saying, we still can't find my mom. You know, they didn't believe that Fran left on a trip either. And they thought it was odd that John didn't know more about this trip.
Right.
I mean, usually a spouse would know flight details, what exactly, you know, when she left, when she was coming back, where she went. Yeah. But he claimed to be really vague on the details and they just weren't buying it. But probable cause was an issue because they didn't have anything, you know, to put in front of a judge that would give them the green light to go search this condo. You know, you have to have a reason. Since the police couldn't get in there, Dee Dee and her Aunt Sherry were like, we'll get in there.
Yeah, we're going in.
Dee Dee and Sherry are you and me. I can just see this going down. They flew to New Jersey. They called John up and they're like, hey, we're in town. We're coming over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't even give him a chance to block them.
No good.
They didn't know John that well because Fran had not been married to him for very long. And they lived in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really know him that well, but they were family and they were playing it cool. They just knew they needed to get inside that condo.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd do the same thing. I would not be able to stand it.
I know. Now, the next day when John left for work, Dee Dee and Sherry started rummaging. They stayed at the apartment. They looked around high and low. They saw all of Fran's toiletries, her makeup, her toothbrush was there, all the things that she would have taken on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of suitcases, you know that yellow suitcase that John said was missing? No, it wasn't. It was there.
It was there.
It was in a storage, like a little storage door.
Okay.
On the balcony outside.
Oh.
It was in there.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. They found out something else, too. John was married to another woman in the early 70s, which in and of itself wasn't an aha shocker moment. But this first wife, Janice Hartman, was also missing.
Oh, goodness gracious.
In November of 1974, John and Janice lived in Ohio, but their marriage didn't last very long, and they got a divorce. Shortly after that, Janice vanished.
Mm-hmm.
Dee Dee and Sherry took this finding straight to the police. They're like, okay, we've got some more pieces of the puzzle here.
Can you take us seriously now?
Yeah. And the police were just as surprised to learn of another missing woman in John's life because this kind of changes things now. I mean,
why does it have to take a second one?
I know, right?
Ugh.
I'd say now Friend's family has these investigators' full attention. And it was then that they launched a full-blown investigation.
Perfect.
Better late than never, I guess. They began interviewing. They gave John a polygraph, which he failed miserably. They were trying to fight the years that separated them from the truth of what happened to Janice. I mean, they're way behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in the early 90s now. That was decades ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe by learning what happened to her, it might shed some light on what happened to Fran, though.
Okay.
So detectives went and spoke with John's brother, Michael, in person, who at the time was living with their grandmother in Ohio, back where they were from. Though he claimed not to know what happened to Janice and said very little, his body language gave the impression that he knew more than he was willing to say.
Mm-hmm.
They thought, you know, if we take our time with him, maybe he'll warm up. But they wouldn't get that chance because Michael's grandmother came storming through the door and said, "Nope, that's enough. Get on your way now."
Okay.
Yeah. I would be that grandmother too. Yeah. So she made the police leave. It was a little strange to be shut down by Granny, you know? So, of course, that made her look suspicious, and it made him look even more suspicious, yeah. You know? Police went back to California and immediately brought John in to the station for a formal interview this time. They said, "We went to talk to your brother, and your grandma got really touchy about the subject. So, why might that be, John?"
Right.
After hours of questioning, they got nowhere. John talked in circles. He embellished. He made excuses. He spun stories. I mean, this guy was a pro at all of it. They were putting the pieces of the puzzle together on their own. They didn't need John to tell them what he did, but with nothing concrete yet, they had to let him go. I mean, we talk about this how many times when they just slip through the fingertips. They just go through the door and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, you know, they were so frustrated.
I know. So now Diane knows that John's being investigated and John knows that she knows.
Uh-huh. What you gonna do now, John?
So John would say it was like a mob hit. The mob were involved. He was being set up and we're all, well, yeah. I mean, how could you kill somebody? Like, you don't look like you could kill somebody. We've never seen that anger side of you to that extreme to where you would kill. I never saw the anger issue. Like my brother did. He saw the anger because he worked briefly with John. I saw like a rude side. So when he told the story about him and his side of things compared to the FBI, you kind of just believe him and you thought, oh yeah mob, you know, out to get you and they're gonna frame you and maybe the FBI are in and on it and stuff like that. So it was pretty believable.
So now John is spinning stories for Diane and Summer,
okay,
trying to make it seem like he's being set up, this is all a mistake. He's now using details and they're going, oh okay, you know, like,
wow.
Yeah, they're buying it, not because they are stupid, but because they believe and trust him. But did you catch the part where she said her brother saw his angry side?
Right, yeah.
Well, so did I. And that piqued my interest. So I asked her about that.
My brother quit. He would just fly off the handle. And my brother, his life was all cars too. So he was in there, I think, working on the Monster Miatas or the LaForzas or something like that, which is what I was told, like a Lamborghini SUV. And I guess he couldn't do anything right with John, and John would just fly off the handle.
I guess when there's a monster deep down in the core, you know, it's only a matter of time before it slips out in a very unflattering way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was wearing masks to suit each situation.
How do you decide who you don't mind if it slips out here?
Right. He's like, well, I don't care about the brother. You know, I don't care about the son. So I'll just, you know, she won't believe him anyway. She won't believe Summer, you know. But, you know, things weren't so clear to Diane. She stayed with John because she loved him. And she didn't believe that he was capable of killing anyone. I mean, come on.
Right.
That's ridiculous. Let alone two past wives. But the investigation was heating up. And soon it would be too hot for Diane to handle.
Oh.
And that's where I'm going to leave you for part one.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So,
okay, well, I don't know how to comment because there's still so much to learn. Because
you're missing a lot of the story.
Yeah. Well, that's cool that Summer was so open to give her story, and I'm excited to hear more on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. And we are going to do it again sometime.
We're going to do it really quick.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Bye now. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.